You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
The NBA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Get started today and you'll get a risk-free bet up to $500. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at WynnBET.com. That's WynnBET.com and download the app today. We're also brought to you by Better Than Vegas. Better Than Vegas is your home for free daily video picks from SGPN. It's like YouTube for sports gambling. Make sure to subscribe to our profile at SportsGamblingPodcast.com/BTV. That's SportsGamblingPodcast.com/BTV. We're also brought to you by Roman. Roman is the straightforward way to take care of your ED. Just head to GetRoman.com/SGP for $15 off your first month. That's GetRoman.com/SGP. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. From April 29th to May 4th, if you deposit on Underdog Fantasy, you'll have a chance to win $1 million in their best ball contest. That's right, $1 million. Sign up now at underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. That's underdog.com, underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. And welcome everyone to a Wednesday morning edition of the NBA Gambling Podcast. This is your host, ZB. It is Wednesday, May 5th, 10:47 a.m. on the East Coast. Munaf, how are you, brother? I brought on the guest a little early. Me and Munaf usually go Monday, Wednesday. Today, a little Tuesday, Wednesday, so I'm a little bit thrown off. But Munaf, how are you, brother?
Yeah, I'm doing well, man. Good night at the hoops last night. We cashed some bets, and hopefully we continue that here tonight. We got some good games on the board here tonight and, you know, some news popping off on Twitter that I sent you earlier, but we'll get into that a little bit. How's everything with you?
Everything's good. Other than that Jimmy Butler late injury.
Oh, yeah.
What was that? I didn't see anything, and then I just saw he wasn't in the starting lineup. Injury, yeah, so, or illness or something?
Yeah, it was illness. So when we had talked about it on the pod, but that report, I think, was on the 4:30 report or the 5 o'clock injury report that he was ruled out with an illness. And you know, I think this is an important point to kind of let bettors know is that have those alerts on for your the fantasy labs or
yeah,
wherever, you know, they pop out that information, because as soon as it came across my phone, I went back and I hedged out of the Miami bet. And then like 2 minutes later, that's when they pulled it down off of my book that I use. So sometimes these books are a little slow to pull those games down when those injury news come out. So I'm glad I was able to hedge out of that. But yeah, he was announced out with an illness. They started okay, but then, you know, last night Dallas, we said that they'd have to have a good shooting night last night, and they did. Tim Hardaway Jr., I think, knocked down 10 3-point shots with them last night, 22 of 48 from 3-point line for Dallas. So, you know, that was pretty much the ball game for Dallas to get that victory last night.
Yeah, and I actually so I wasn't on my phone in the afternoon, and I checked the game, saw Jimmy was out. Then they were up like 12-3, I think, to start the game, and I was like, all right, yeah, should I take? I think I got like Dallas. It was like +4.5 or whatever, and I was like, should I take it? Yeah. And I didn't, and then I ended up getting screwed as well in Charlotte, kind of. Very surprising. They had that game. They were up by 10 and then let the cover slip away. And then that game, I don't know if you were watching that game, but it got really weird with like a late replay review with one of the Martin twins. Mm-hmm. And the last like 20 seconds of that game took like 10 minutes. So how was your night overall last night?
Overall, it was okay. You know, I was it would have been bad if I didn't hedge out of that Miami bet. But other than that, we know we hit 3 out of 4 player props. Quickly, I want to talk about Underdog Fantasy. I posted this on the NBA Slack channel, is that a lot of like books don't let you parlay player props or things like that. But, you know, Sean was talking about Underdog Fantasy. I was like, well, let me go check it out before some of the games kick off here. And I was able to find that they have like NBA player props on there, MLB player props on there that you can get down on, and then also parlay. There's like a multiplier on there. So I think it's almost better odds than you parlaying it on a regular sports book that you may use. So I was able to parlay the Chris Middleton over points prop and then Kyrie Irving points prop that, you know, that hit for me. So it was a small wager just to test out the website, but I would definitely tell everybody to check out underdogfantasy.com. Make sure to use that promo code SGPN and for free $25, little touting. But I was playing around on the website, and you know, they have some good stuff on there, so definitely check them out.
Yeah, and it's not touting because Munaf, they are one of our presenting sponsors for the show today. So glad that you enjoy the experience. I also have been checking out Underdog Fantasy, and definitely if you're into fantasy football or fantasy basketball or player props, you know, a lot of different offerings and a really cool website. I saw they had a big like investor day yesterday. A lot of big names are invested in that company. You know, Kevin Durant, I saw, and his business partner, Rich Kleiman. So very cool with Underdog Fantasy. Anything else that you wanted to get to from last night? I'm kicking myself for that Raptors. That Raptors plus 10, I think, was very obvious. I'm a little miffed that I missed that. They ended up keeping that game close. Clippers ultimately got the win, so they are now in sole possession of third in the West. Let's see what else. New Orleans got the cover. Yeah. They were able to beat the Warriors, who, you know, Warriors seem kind of tired, I feel like. I don't know. They seem to be a little bit suffering more from the malaise of the season than other teams. Obviously, Nets, Bucks, crazy overtime in Phoenix, Cleveland. So anything you want to talk about from last night?
Yeah. Just quickly on the Phoenix game, I know I had that as the team
that was total. Wild.
And it got to overtime, and then like they won like overtime, what, 20-4 or something like that? Let me see here. Yeah, 20-4. And they covered the game where they were double digit favorites. So I think that was a little crazy. And then I wanted to get your opinion on, do you think that the Nets and the Bucks game, do you think that this is a cause of concern for the Brooklyn Nets? Obviously, but they are without James Harden, which is obviously a significant piece. But do you think this is a concern that now they lost two games in a row to them? And they had, you know, great efforts by both of their superstars, or is it just that, is it that they need somebody else to step up, or is it that the absence of James Harden is going to have an effect when he's back, if they play the Bucks in the playoffs?
You know, I think it's not really a cause for concern. I still would obviously pick the Nets in that series. I do think so. From last night's game, I definitely, the offensive glass is going to be a key part of this series. I thought that the Bucks were doing a really good job of getting on the offensive glass, making Brooklyn work and stay engaged in the defensive end, right? You know, you have to punish them in these kind of toughness, intangible areas that they're not, as their roster is not built to kind of do. I mean, at any given time, they're most likely going to have three of these stars and Joe Harris on the floor. So the Milwaukee Bucks did a really nice job on the offensive glass. 15 offensive rebounds as a team compared to just 6 for the Brooklyn Nets.
Right.
That allows the Bucks to get up 98 shots compared to only 84 for the Nets. I mean, that's a 14 shot differential in terms of attempts. You look at the rebounding overall, Bucks out rebounded them by 16 in this game. So
yeah,
I definitely think that's one area where the Bucks are going to have to attack the Nets.
Mm-hmm.
I also raised this question in the Slack channel, and I think I'm still on your side of this debate, but you know, if you're the Brooklyn Nets and let's say you go through game 1 and 2 against the Bucks, and, you know, let's say these two games were games 1 and 2 of a playoff series, I mean, do you have to switch up your coverage on Giannis? Because, you know, while I do think that in the long run, if you run out the sample infinitely, that Giannis will, you know, if you force him to make shots, he will not be able to fulfill that role in a 7-game series. Yeah. You know, it can get tight. So I, you know, how do the Nets kind of manage that if Giannis does have a couple good shooting games early in a playoff series?
No, yeah, you yeah, posted this in the Slack channel, and then I was like, well, if Giannis is gonna beat me making jump shots, then just so be it, right? Because we know that Giannis doesn't have a consistent jump shot. Maybe, you know, he'll have a once in the blue moon good shooting night, at least from beyond the arc or beyond the arc, and you know, maybe 15 to 20 feet out. But you take a look at his numbers last night. So from Sunday, 21 of 36 from the field, 4 of 8 from 3-point land. And then last night, I think they were, you know, 11 of 30 from the field. He got up 12 3-point shots.
Yeah.
I mean, crazy. That's kind of unheard of for Giannis, right? So again, the Nets strategy, you know, maybe they were just testing this out and seeing, hey, if we have to see them, the Bucks down the road in the playoffs, what's our strategy with Giannis? And then for him to jack up 12, you know, 3-point shots, I think you continue to let him shoot, right? Because we know he doesn't have that consistent jump shot. Obviously, 11 of 30 is not very glamorous when you're only shooting 36, 37% from the field. So that'll be interesting to see if they continue to do that, if they meet up in the playoffs. But I think you got to shout out to the other guys on the Bucks team that played well in these last two games. I think Jrue Holiday was phenomenal for them over the last two games, and also Chris Middleton. So they're going to need those two superstars to step up in the playoffs, regardless if it's the Nets, it's the Sixers, or whoever it is in this first round, to kind of, you know, take that pressure off of Giannis and having to rely on him either getting to the basket or having to rely on him making a jump shot.
Yeah, and I think also the Nets strategy was also to prevent kind of Giannis from that doing that driving kick, you know, out to your DiVincenzo and your Brooke Lopez, your spot up guys, where they can start kind of raining threes on you. So I think when you look a little deeper in the scouting report, I mean, yeah, Giannis only had 4 assists in this game. I believe he had only 4 assists in the Sunday game as well. I think he had 49 points, 4 assists. I mean, that's not really your conventional Giannis stat line, right? If he's getting that far downhill, you expect he's going to have those kick out looks to 3-point shooters. You look at this game last night, Giannis, 4 assists, 5 turnovers. Dante DiVincenzo, 0 of 3 from 3. Brooke Lopez, 0 of 1 for 3. Chris Middleton, 1 of 3 from 3. So they are doing a good job of preventing kind of, you know, that Bucks driving kick offense where they can really go inferno on offense. And I didn't really catch that the Nets did miss 10 free throws last night out of 26. And DeAndre Jordan obviously struggled there. He missed 4 free throws, as did Jeff Green. So the big man rotation in Brooklyn still is kind of up in the air. Nick Claxton only 5 minutes last night in his return from his COVID absence. Thought Bruce Brown was pretty good. Maybe he could get a little bit more time. I thought the ball moved a little bit more when he was out there. But, you know, a lot of Kyrie and KD ISO, and that's not necessarily bad. But Steve Nash post-game comments seem to suggest that he wants a little bit more continuity in their offense going forward.
Right, yeah, and I think this is going to be an important stretch for Brooklyn, with about, what, 6 games left for them. So I'm not even sure that, you know, I mentioned yesterday that maybe they get Harden back, but I'm not sure, you know, we haven't heard any news about that. So, I think you also mentioned that, you know, I think the key pieces also for this team in the playoffs, at least, is going to be the shooting of Joe Harris and Landry Shamet, right? And I think I said that if you get these guys to combine to make, you know, 7 to 8 3-pointers per game and kind of, you know, help with the shooting around KD, Harden, and Kyrie, I think that's going to be a very significant, you know, we know what Joe Harris can do. And you called it yesterday that, you know, he had to make his 3-point shots. Nice. So that cashed fairly easily. And then, you know, you had Landry Shamet coming off the bench in 23 minutes, 1 of 8 from the field, 1 of 6 from 3-point land. So I think that they're going to have to get consistent shooting from Landry Shamet and Joe Harris in the playoffs to, you know, really propel the Brooklyn Nets in the offense.
Yeah, agreed. Anything else on last night's slate you got?
Yeah, I just want to kind of get quickly to the Clippers game. I was watching some of that, and they got Patrick Beverley last night. I think that when Reggie Jackson is in this game, or whether he's starting or coming off the bench, the offense, like, it's really bad. It's a lot of dribbling from Reggie Jackson, and he kind of passes the ball off with about like 7 seconds left in the shot clock, expecting Kawhi Leonard or Paul George to make a godly basket. And I don't think that's, I think that's might be an Achilles heel for the Clippers. And that's what I was watching last night. It was good to see Beverley back out there because he, you know, he can knock down that 3-point shot, and he gets the ball out of his hands. to kind of run that off. And the same thing with Rondo, right? He likes to push the pace down the floor and get easy baskets for his team. But I think that Reggie Jackson is really going to make this team suffer on the offensive end. And he's also a defensive liability. So Tyronn Lue is going to have to make a decision there because he has three guards. And then same thing on the interior, right? If you have Zubac starting and you're supposed to get Ibaka back, what are you going to do with DeMarcus Cousins, some of the other pieces have? So that was kind of the takeaway that I had from the Clippers game last night.
Yeah, and I did not see this game, but I will say, I mean, they have options, right? I mean, I think Boogie probably falls out of the rotation as you head towards the playoffs, or maybe matchup specific, you know, if the other team is playing a more sturdy big. And then, you know, Zubac and Ibaka, definitely a really nice defensive combo at the big man. And then between Jackson and, you know, playoff Rondo and Patrick Beverley, we will also see with Terrence Mann as someone who I think has shown some juice, but he only played 6 minutes last night. So not too sure about that. Let's take a quick break here, and then we'll come back with some more news and notes on a report that you sent me this morning. Today's episode of the NBA Gambling Podcast is brought to you by WynnBET. WynnBET is bringing you the action of real sports betting with the Wynn Las Vegas experience. Get in all your favorite teams, players, and sports games with generous promos, odds, and parlays happening right now at WynnBET. Get started today, and you'll receive a special offer of up to $500 risk-free sports bet. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at WynnBET.com. That's WynnBET.com, and download the app today. All right, coming back off the break, Munaf, I know you want to talk a little bit about some coaching news that popped up this morning. Shams Charania had a report following up on, obviously, Woj's report last night about Nate Bjorkgren being on the hot seat after 1 year in Indiana, which I thought was really interesting. And now today, Shams follows that up with a report that Terry Stotts could be headed towards the hot seat, as well as some other names. Luke Walton was named. Let me just grab it here. Luke Walton, Scott Brooks from the Wizards, Nate Bjorkgren, obviously, and then Mike Budenholzer and Terry Stotts, two teams that are headed towards the playoffs, but still, you know, on the hot seat, obviously teams that haven't really exceeded their ceiling in the past. So what were your thoughts on that report? I know you have some interesting Terry Stotts opinions.
Yeah, and we had talked about Terry Stotts early in the season, right? Like this roster that they've kind of constructed with Portland over the years with obviously Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum has really underperformed because, you know, they are one of the better backcourts at least in the Western Conference. When you have a dynamic player like Damian Lillard, who I think is at least a top 10 player in this league. And we've also had this discussion in the Slack channel, is that like the rotations that he's putting out there with the second unit, it's just not working. And he hasn't made that proper adjustment in the regular season. I think in the playoffs, it doesn't matter as much because your starters do play the heavier minutes of about, you know, close to 35 plus minutes, 40 plus minutes in the playoffs. But as far as the regular season, I really think that they have underperformed. And, you know, I had given you the blind resume earlier in the season, you got, you know, who that coach was right away. So I guess the report said that you know, Jason Kidd was maybe in contention, but then I feel like with any open coaching job that Jason Kidd is always tied to it. But, you know, I think this is going to be an important playoff series for the Portland Trailblazers. You know, it's going to, if they get kicked out in the first round, I think he's gone.
Yeah. And I thought the first line of this Shams report is very, very well written, is that all good things must come to an end, especially when great is the goal. And that's kind of, you know, that sums up Terry Stotts. They've been okay, you know, pretty good, but they've never really reached that ceiling. Other names that are rumored for this job here, Jason Kidd, Nate McMillan, Dave Yeager, I guess pronounced. And then Chauncey Billups, I thought was also an interesting name. He's obviously on the Clippers bench this year, and he's kind of been a hot name in basketball circles. So definitely tough for Terry Stotts. And obviously that goes kind of in tandem with the Chris Haynes report last week that didn't take any quotes from Dame Lillard, but he's been very close with Dame Lillard in the past. I think you can kind of assume that Dame Lillard knew that piece was dropping that said Dame might want to leave and go to a contender if he can't win a championship in Portland. So very interesting offseason coming up in Portland, although they do have a chance of, you know, if the standings fall the right way, maybe catch the Nuggets in the first round and then, you know, able to make it to the second round. I want to we could talk about Nate Bjorkman in a bit if you'd like to. I also want to say that this Mike Budenholzer report says a second round loss would be nearly impossible for him to survive. And when you take that into consideration with the fact they're most likely playing the Brooklyn Nets in the second round of standings hold, very interesting dynamic there in Milwaukee, where they've also kind of struggled to exceed expectations or really do anything in the playoffs that matches who they've been in the regular season.
Yeah, and I think that the Mike Budenholzer one was, you know, I think it was kind of the narrative that started last season, right? I think the Bucks really underperformed in the playoffs.
He obviously got schooled by Eric Spoelstra in that Bucks
game. Yeah, he did, and he was clearly outmatched in that series. So, you know, I mean, again, we talk about coaches that are good in the regular season, just how Shumps put it in his article, that, you know, good things to come to an end. He's a good coach, but then when you get to the playoffs and you're trying to win a championship, it's a completely different game. And if you're going to get out coached and outmatched by the opposing team, you know, that's not going to sit well with even the players or even the front office. So, you know, I think I'm not surprised about Terry Stotts, but you know, with Mike Budenholzer, you know, it makes sense, right? Because you have one of the best players in the NBA, you have a pretty solid roster now after this off season where you picked up, you know, Drew Holiday, you traded for PJ Tucker and, you know, you have Breen Forbes, I think, who's one of been an underrated pickup for this Milwaukee Bucks team. So it's going to be, again, in every off season with coaching changes, with personnel moves, with player trades and signings, it's always fun in the NBA off season. So I'm not surprised. I think the one name on this list that I am surprised by was the Pacers coach, especially just after one season. Maybe they're starting to realize that they shouldn't have fired Nate McMillan, who I think is a good head coach. I'm hoping that he gets to stay with Atlanta. There was a mention from Woj this morning was that he had an interview with Trae Young, and they talked about Coach Nate McMillan. I didn't get a chance to listen to that pod yet. I'll try to do that today and see what Trey's thoughts are on Coach Nate McMillan. But I think definitely the Pacers made a mistake by firing Nate McMillan and you know, not keeping him around. So, again, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Bjorkgren, they want to upgrade their risk profile, right? Under Nate McMillan, they had been really, you know, steady. They're kind of like Portland East, right? They are a little bit worse than that, obviously, but they've been steady, but had never really managed any upside. And in this report, it's interesting, and I think this is going to be something to monitor as the conversation around analytics kind of continues to permeate more of the mainstream debate. This is saying that the players on the Pacers are not really amenable to Nate Bjorkgren, who's trying to over-communicate an analytic style that players don't feel suits the roster, right? And basketball players are going to be basketball players. They grew up playing the game a certain way. And now I think there is this, you know, Daryl Morey and James Harden were able to make it work, but not every team is going to want to buy into, you know, shooting all these threes and, you know, making the 4-point shot in practice so that you're less likely to take a mid-range jumper and trying to kind of roboticize NBA offense. So I think this is kind of an interesting test case where Nate Bjorkgren is trying to bring in a new style. And yet on this team, you have big men like Sabonis and Miles Turner, and you have Malcolm Brogdon, who seems to be more of an old school type of guard. And they are clashing over that style. And Nate Bjorkgren, obviously they have been really wildly up fast pace and high tempo recently. And it's been kind of fun to watch, but the players have to be bought in too. So Indiana right now sitting in the ninth spot. So they look headed for the second tier play-in game. So that'll be one to monitor as we go towards the off season.
Yeah. I think for Pacers, quickly wrap it up for the Pacers. I think they're going to have a lot of roster questions going into the off season with what they want to do with Miles Turner and, you know, with Malcolm Brogdon and all that stuff. And they have some young pieces there also. So again, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Pacers.
Yes, indeed. Let's take another quick break here, and then we'll come back with the Wednesday night slate. Today's episode of the NBA Gambling Podcast is also brought to you by Roman. Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfers sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you come up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to GetRoman.com/SGP now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with two-day shipping. The whole process is so straightforward and discreet, guys. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/SGP and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/SGP now to get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED, and it's happening right here. Just go to GetRoman.com/SGP for $15 off your first month of treatment. Okay, we're coming back off the break. Let's get into the slate for Wednesday, May 5th. We do not have a prop shop for tonight. That is because Moonop will have an article on sportsgamblingpodcast.com dropping later this afternoon that should have player props on there.
Yep.
It had a pretty good player prop day yesterday, so excited for that article. I did want to ask you before we get into the games for tonight, how do you kind of start that article off in terms of research? You know, how do you target games and then kind of narrow down to plays that are your three favorites for the night, and kind of what's your process there?
Yeah, so, you know, every morning what I like to do is, you know, kind of get into these early lines, you know, just looking at matchups, right? Like if it's a team that's we've talked about using the website Hash Basketball. I think that's a great resource to start with for player props, right? It breaks it down for you by which teams has been struggling, like in certain positions, whether it's given up points, whether it's given up assists, whether it's given a rebound. So I think that's a good starting point for me. And then I went go back and then look at NBA stats, NBA.com/stats. And then I look at what the opponents, what defenses obviously have been doing against some of their opponents over their last 10 games. Because where we are in the season, I cut that down to over the last five games, and I kind of look at, okay, opposing rebounds, what are they giving up? Opponent assists, three-point shooting, all that good stuff, points inside the paint, pace, and things like that. And then I go back and look at it. Okay, then I try to identify specific players. And I'll go back and look at, okay, if they've matched up again already this season, how has that certain player done against that particular team? So just for example, I'm just going to throw Russell Westbrook out there. Obviously, we know what Russell Westbrook can do every single night. Yeah, love him. He's cashing. I mean, he gets my he increases my my balance with my bookie every single week and every single day, almost whenever he's playing. But and that's why he's kind of limited me on the player props now. But
hell yeah,
you know, like yeah, a guy like Russell Westbrook who fills up the stat sheet, and you know the books aren't going to set a ridiculous amount of a number for his market, right? So if it's like yesterday or the day before, we had 21 assists and 21 rebounds and 24 assists. The market's not going to set that at 15.5, but you know, when it's such a big total, like it was against the Pacers, he's going to fill up that stat sheet, and he did. So I think those are the kind of things that I started looking at. And then obviously, like I said, historical numbers, injury reports, if a certain player is out, you know, another player is going to have to kind of take on that scoring load. Last night with Buddy Hield, you know, we thought that, you know, he got close. I think he had either 15 or 18 points, and the Sacramento Kings kind of had that game wrapped up. But, you know, I think, you know, those are kind of the starting points where I kind of started looking at for player props.
Do you play DFS at all?
I do not. And I think that's something that I do want to add to my portfolio, starting with the football season, because right now, with basketball going on and baseball going on, it just and you know, I'm even starting to do some golf with first round leaders and things like that. So it just kind of gets hard for me to, you know, keep up with DFS and things like that.
Yeah, I think actually I'm glad you mentioned golf. I really like golf for DraftKings. I think it's a really fun way to play.
Yeah.
Especially because you're usually limited in how you can kind of attack a player, right? Especially like, you know, you're either getting the top 10 or top 20 markets. I don't really like to bet outright. So it's either matchups or the top 10 or top 20 markets. So DraftKings can kind of be a way to just say, I want to stake a claim on this player. I don't necessarily think they're going to finish a certain position or beat a certain guy, but just kind of play well. So DraftKings can be a really fun outlet for golf as well as basketball. I think we can definitely dive into that more. I think Dan does do some DFS with basketball. Yeah. So we will certainly try to get into that more let's get right into it. This is, again, Wednesday, May 5th, 11:13 a.m. on the East Coast. The first game on the slate implicates one of our recent daily fadeaway teams, so we can talk about that a little bit. The Boston Celtics visit the Orlando Magic. The Celtics are laying 11 on the road, total at 218.5, and the Celtics team total is at 114.5. Munaf, where are you going with this game, and is the fadeaway of the Magic defense still in effect? I think they've been a little bit better as of late, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, quickly, let me see if I can pull it up here real quick. Over their last five games, Orlando is...
have not allowed more than 112 points.
Wow, they're up to number five in defensive rating over their last five games. So they're playing better. And you can see that, right? They've covered three out of their last four games. They've won three out of their last four games. They just had that stinker against Memphis. So, you know, with Cole Anthony there and some of these young guys, they're still playing hard, right? With Wendell Carter Jr. So, you know, some of these guys that are on this Orlando Magic team and teams like that are kind of headed towards a draft lottery, but these guys are going to still continue to play hard because they are still fighting for a roster position, whether it's with this particular team or it might be with another team. So they're still going to play hard. I just think this is a lot of points for Boston to lay on the road here, especially like we mentioned, the way Orlando is playing better. Jaylen Brown is out tonight for the Boston Celtics with that ankle injury he left with at the end of the game the other night. But, you know, I like the way Orlando has playing as of late. I'll go ahead and take that plus 11 at home for Orlando Magic here tonight.
Yeah, I'll probably lean with Orlando as well. I think that's a great point that you brought up about the kind of dueling motivations, right? Because the organizationally, the team wants to tank, but you're never going to convince players on the margin to, you know, not play well, right? On purpose. Yeah. All these guys, especially with a team like Orlando or, you know, Detroit last night, these guys are fighting to keep their career alive, you know? Now on Orlando, you have a couple journeymen. I'll shout out to my hashtag Pro Blue Michigan boys, Mo Wagner and Iggy Brazdeikis, now playing a role for this Magic team. So I will have an eye on this game tonight. And yeah, I think Orlando with the 11, they seem pretty interested in kind of, you know, fighting till the season gives up, and they're kind of playing themselves out of draft position. But I don't really think that that's on an 11-point spread. I will say Cleveland last night, I was about to write in the Slack that the one time I lay off Cleveland, they end up covering, and then the dog gets the double-digit dog losing the cover in overtime. I feel for anybody who had Cleveland last night, for sure. So
that was tough, yeah.
That was brutal. There still needs to be underdog insurance in overtime. So I will lean with Orlando on the 11. Any thoughts on that Celtics team total or the game total at 218.5?
I think I might want to take a look at going with the Orlando Magic team total. Maybe okay. I think that Boston is one of the, you know, let me take a look at where they're rated defensively. Yeah. Over their last five games, Boston is down to number 28 in defensive rating. And now you don't have, you know, Jaylen Brown, one of your better defenders also in this game. So, you know, we take a look at Orlando, what they've done over their last five games, you know, against the Lakers, they put up 103, but they lost the game. That's fine. Got 109 against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And then, you know, the two games against Memphis, there was that stinker of a game where it was like 92-75. I think that I was watching that game. It was just a really, really ugly basketball game. And then they came back against Memphis. They scored 112. And then against Detroit the other night, they scored 119. So, you know, obviously I think this is where the market's not really paying attention to the Orlando Magic and how they're playing. So, you know, take a look at, the Orlando Magic, team total. I don't know if you've seen it in front of you. I think I saw it at 104 this morning.
104. Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that might be worth a look for the Orlando Magic here tonight.
Yeah. And just to update listeners, Boston has ticked to minus 11, minus 115. So maybe a little movement in that direction, maybe a little more value on the Orlando Magic. So that should be an interesting game to watch. I will say, if you guys need proof that Munaf puts in the work, he was watching Grizzlies Magic, the 92-75 game. That was probably the worst game of the year. So shout out to you. let's go to the next game on the slate. Similar line to last night, similar situation. The Portland Trailblazers are in Cleveland, laying 11.5 on the road, total at 229. Cleveland, obviously, last night with that overtime blowout, but a tie game as of four quarters. Portland coming in this hotly contested seeding battle. Munaf, where are you going with this game here?
Yeah, you know, I think a crushing loss for Portland. Sorry, for Cleveland last night, especially in overtime. Man, that sucks. Like, anybody that – I keep thinking about it. Anybody that had that spread for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
That's just brutal.
Within, like, 3 minutes, like, 3 to 4 minutes, like, they cover the game. Oh, God. That's betting for you, right? But, yeah, I mean, I think, again, this is a game where, like, we want to take the Cavs, but Portland really needs this game. Right, especially in the Western Conference standings right now. Quickly trying to see here what are the Cleveland Cavaliers doing back to back situations. Not much there. 7-8 against spread. They are 4-11 to the under in back to back situations. So, you know, maybe some tired legs, but again, you know, definitely check his injury report, because I think we saw Isaac Okoro. He did finish the game, but he had
great game for him last night.
Yeah, and then I think I saw Darius Garland, who was also questionable for tonight's game, game time decision. So I think this is a game where Portland, you know, should take care of business. I say that with hesitation because, you know, with Portland, you know, sometimes you don't know what you're going to get every single night. But because of the fact that they are fighting for that playoff positioning in the Western Conference, I think Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, these guys will get focused and take care of business tonight against the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah, and just the injury report check here. Damian Lillard, probable. So you've got to assume he goes here. But Norman Powell, questionable with a right knee patellar tendinopathy.
Okay.
Have not heard of that. Sounds kind of chronic. So that's going to be interesting to monitor. Norm Powell, obviously, he's been a big piece after that Gary Trent trade. And yeah, I mean, I hate to speculate on the injury report because we don't really know. But when you look at Cleveland, they only played 7 guys last night. Isaac Okoro played 47. Sexton played 39. Chetty Osmond played 45 minutes. I mean, Kevin Love played 34 minutes. So you got to assume he's not out there tonight. So this one could get ugly for Cleveland. I honestly maybe even lean towards Portland with the 11.5.
Yeah.
Kind of a high total at 229. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it would be, again, Portland team total for me because, again, they only had 7, like you mentioned, 7 guys playing last night with those heavy, heavy minutes. So, they're going to have tired legs on the defensive end for sure because, you know, again, that's the first place where tired legs show up. But again, yeah, I think this game could get real ugly for Cleveland. I think Portland team total might be another look fading this Cleveland defense, especially after last night.
Yeah, and that team total is at 119.5. So good look there. Let's go to the next game on the slate. A sneaky, really fun game here with two teams that have kind of young upstarts in this league. The Memphis Grizzlies coming off that bad loss to the New York Knicks. Go to Minnesota, where the Grizzlies are a 3-point road favorite, total at 238.5. Minnesota have been playing much better as of late, you know, kind of finding themselves a little bit here. So 3-point spread, probably shorter than most would have thought maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, but now it makes a lot of sense. So Munaf, where are you going with this game here?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've talked about teams that we cannot figure out, like Toronto and Miami, and I think Memphis is added to that list for me.
Yeah, both these teams, honestly.
I wanted to get your thoughts on Ja Morant as I know we saw what he did last season, but again, as a player, as a franchise player for this Memphis team, and I want to get your thoughts if you think he can lead a team. I guess at least for this Memphis team, the first step would be to at least getting into the playoffs or what you think of Ja Morant just as a player.
I love Ja Morant. I mean, I think that, yeah, I think the upside is severely limited by the lack of a jumper, right? I mean, the jumper has not come along this year. And he is shooting it better last 10 games, 39% from three. But, you know, now he's 29% from three this season. And we've seen with these small guards, unless you have the pull-up game off the pick and roll, it's very hard to be the best player on a playoff team. I mean, Steph Curry and James Harden and Dame Lillard are kind of the ones that, like, change the math because they can get, you know, all to their pull-up game against any other guard. And with Ja, it's so hard for a small guard who needs to attack the rim to kind of sustain over an entire season and do it every single night, night in, night out. So I do think the jumper needs to come along. You know, I think with Memphis, it's kind of a really interesting test case for kind of the league overall, because they have Ja and Triple J, kind of a super exciting young core. But I kind of get what you're hinting at with this question, is that I don't think they are even close to the upside of, like, becoming a championship team unless they add probably who would have to be their best player, right? They would probably need, like, a Kawhi Leonard type at the three to come in and start doing that for them. So it is kind of – it shows how hard it is to win in this league and how hard it is to kind of go from being okay to being great. Because I think the next step for Memphis, they've really done a nice job and a really impressive job as an organization kind of lifting up from bottom. Now they're right in the middle in the thick of things, but that next step is so much harder. And for Ja, I think, yeah, you got to add the jumper and they need to add more talent to this team. They have a lot of depth, but they need more upside. You know, at 32 and 32 this year, I wouldn't be shocked if they, you know, find a way through the play-in. They do have the best point differential of the four teams in the play-in currently. So kind of interesting. But yeah, I mean, I think with Ja, I love watching him play, but the upside is severely limited. And that's kind of an obvious thing when you watch him. But him attacking the rim and the competitiveness, which with he goes up amongst the trees for these crazy layups and dunks. I mean, you got to respect it.
Yeah, of the times that I've been betting on Memphis, I'm watching Ja Morant, and I've just as someone that watches the game, I feel like he's trying to make too much of the flashy plays, whether it's, you know, going up for an acrobatic layup or, you know, just getting trying to get that highlight dunk versus making a play that's going to help your team. And I think that's something that I've noticed with him this season, that he's trying to make the flashy play too much. Versus, you know, just being a team player and kind of leading this team. Obviously, you know, like you mentioned, the jump shot is a big question for him, and something that he's going to have to improve as his career goes on here. But, circling back to the game here tonight, the last game for Memphis against, I think it was against New York, right? Yeah. I think that's the game where Coach Taylor and Ja Morant got tossed, and, you know, maybe they come out and respond here tonight against Minnesota. I believe these two teams have matched up earlier this season. Quickly trying to see if I can find that here. April 2nd, Memphis won that game 121-108 as a 6.5-point favorite, I believe. So I think Memphis responds here tonight. I think we get a good effort out of Ja Morant and some of the guys are around him. I know Triple J is out for this game, I believe. And, like you said, Minnesota's been playing well, but I think this is a good spot for Memphis to respond against a team that it should be able to beat.
Yeah, Triple J out with injury maintenance. I would lean towards Memphis as well. Any thoughts on the total at 238.5? Pretty high, I do think. I mean, I think these teams have been playing a little bit better on the defensive end recently, so kind of lean towards that under.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I'm a guy that, you know, doesn't really play unders. But, you know, we take a look at the last five games, a defensive rating, Minnesota all the way up to number four. Impressive. And Memphis is right there. Yeah, they're right behind the Detroit Pistons to crack into that top 10 defensively. So, and then as far as we look at pace, let's see, Minnesota's at number eight and Memphis at 12. But I think, you know, these teams are playing better defensively. But the thing is that we thought that last night with Dallas Mavericks and the Miami Heat, and they ended up scoring 240 points. But, just going off the defensive metrics and stats, you know, and there's some of the struggles that they have been having on offense, I think the under is a good play in this game.
Agreed. maybe potentially a little Jonas Valanciunas action here. He can definitely mash inside, and that's not really a good matchup for Cat. So I think Valanciunas, maybe some points and rebounds. I will grab a number on that to share with you. Let's take a quick break here, and then we'll come back for the rest of the slate. Today's episode of the NBA Gambling Podcast is also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. If you haven't played on Underdog Fantasy, guys, you have to check it out. Their fantasy best ball tournaments are some of the best around. Even better is their NFL Draft Weekend special, where if you sign up between April 29th and May 4th, you'll have a chance to win $1 million. That's right, $1 million. When you go to underdogfantasy.com and use the promo code SGPN, you will get $25 free, which you can use to enter their Best Ball Mania 2 tournament. SGP will be running private best ball drafts for all of our listeners as well, so make sure to look out for that. This is a limited time offer that ends May 4th. That's today, guys. So go to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for your chance to win $1 million. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. Okay, coming back off the break, one of the better games on the slate tonight. Really excited to see this one. The Phoenix Suns travel to Atlanta, where the Hawks are a one-point home dog, total at 228. Potentially some injury questions here. I mean, this line does seem a little bit short to me, but I could also just be overrating the Suns or underrating the Hawks a little bit. But Munaf, where are you going with this spread here?
Yeah, this is such a tough game, man. And it's, I feel like it's like, it's a little stinky, right? Cause I think the books may be begging you for to take Phoenix here, and it's hard to bet against this Phoenix team, especially, you know, coming off the overtime game last night. You know, I mean, you know, they got the job done easily in overtime, but Atlanta's shooting the ball well, man. I mean, you take a look at their last game against Portland. They shot the ball well. You take a look at Phoenix in back-to-back situations this season, they're 10-5 against the spread, 7-8 to the under. So, man, I don't know. I'll get your thoughts on this game for them. I don't know what you think, and then I'll give my pick.
Yeah, it does kind of seem like the opposite of that Suns-Knicks game that was a couple weeks ago, where it seemed like they were begging you to take the Knicks. Mm-hmm. And here, yeah, I mean, the Suns, they have shown kind of a willingness to kind of play their guys big minutes and play on back-to-back, so I don't necessarily think there's an injury sketchiness here. I would lean towards Phoenix. I mean, I think that CP can do a lot to Trey on that end of the floor, and you have those two guards that can kind of just make Trey's life miserable tonight. So I do think that the advantage on the perimeter is towards Phoenix. And then kind of a similar matchup to – I remember we targeted CP3 and Book in that game against the Knicks, saying that Nerlens Noel can hang by the rim and that there could be more opportunities in the mid-range and perimeter. So maybe CP3 and Book tonight on some player props, given that Capella can do the same thing. That could potentially be a target here. But I would lean towards Phoenix. Obviously, a really nice win for the Hawks against the Blazers the other night, and kind of stabilize their ship after all those losses with Trae Young coming back from injury. So I will lean towards Phoenix -1, but probably one that I'm just looking forward to watching tonight.
Yeah, I'll take Atlanta as a home dog tonight. I think this is a good spot for them. I know with like we said, Phoenix coming off a back-to-back situation, overtime game. So I kind of like taking teams that are coming off those overtimes and, you know, having to play those extra minutes. One quick note for this game, and that's something I did see on Twitter, was Atlanta is 17-2-2 to the over as home dogs with a total of over 221. So, you know, we have two offenses here tonight that can really, you know, shoot the ball and score the basket, you know, score the basketball. Defensive rating over the last five games here, I know Phoenix has kind of faltered a little bit. They're down to number 18 and Atlanta's down at number 25. Defensively, and then over pace, we take a look at, I think Phoenix doesn't play at a high pace. They are at number 30, but they're a very, very high offensive efficient team where they can get baskets at will. So I'm going to lean with the over here tonight with Atlanta.
There we go. Yeah, this should be a really fun game to watch, I think. Yeah. Let me just grab some player prop looks here. I mean, I hate betting a back-to-back early because you never know what's going to pop up on that injury report throughout the day. Yeah. So we got Phoenix, Atlanta. No Suns on the player prop market yet. So that's kind of sending a message early. So we'll lay off this one for now. Next game on the slate, the Philadelphia 76ers head to Houston, where the Philadelphia Sixers are a 13-point road favorite, total at 223. Muna, let's start with the Rockets a little bit. 5-39 in their last 44 games. I was listening to a podcast this morning and heard that stat drop. So that's very, very good for Houston. Sadly, they seem to have locked up the number one lottery odds. So kind of a successful venture with regard to that. So how are you kind of feeling about the Rockets right now with KPJ emerging? Christian Wood looks like a good signing, and then maybe a number one pick in your future.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about how I think Kevin Porter Jr. and Christian Wood are going to be part of this rebuilding process for the Rockets. I think the other two guys will be David Nwaba and Chayshon Tate, your guy. Yeah. So I think that's going to kind of be the starting point for this Rockets rebuild. Obviously I hope they end up with a number one pick and, you know, they can get Cade or even I think Evan Mobley, I think is a great, great guy to get on your team. But with Christian Wood already there, I think, you know, Cade would be a great pickup. The question then becomes, what do you do with John Wall and that big contract? So I think that'll be a hard contract to move if you're kind of trying to do that in the off season. But John Wall's looked good this season. You know, obviously they shut him down for the rest of the season. There's no point of him playing. But, you know, we saw flashes of old John Wall, and hopefully, you know, he can stay healthy. Just circling back to the game here tonight, I don't think I can get behind the Rockets, especially going up against the number one defensive rated team over their last 10 games in the Philadelphia 76ers. You know, Sixers have kind of let these other teams kind of hang around over their past two games. They did get the victories. Obviously, San Antonio, that game went into overtime. And then they pulled away from Chicago late. I don't think they're going to take the Rockets here lightly. And I think that, you know, Philly should dominate this game. I will take the Philly team total over against this Rockets defense. I think I currently saw it at 119.
117 and a half.
Oh, okay, 117 and a half. So yeah, it's going down a little bit. But, you know, regardless, Joel Embiid should have his way inside with this Rockets interior. You know, Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, these guys should have success against this Rockets, and they should be able to roll here tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's kind of I agree with you. I think Philly is kind of, they've shown some ability to match these inferior opponents. They've also shown a willingness to let teams hang around. So maybe a Philly first quarter here could be interesting, and we get all those starter minutes. It's only at -4. That could be kind of a good way to just isolate Embiid, Simmons, and Harris on the floor. And, you know, they do kind of let teams hang around, as you've aptly mentioned. So that 13 points could be in jeopardy late, but they might build a big lead in the first half. So first quarter, Philly -4, first half -7. Both those kind of look better to me than the full game at 13. Kind of a low total. I mean, yeah, I think with Philly, they should just be in mash mode here, trying to just get this first seed locked up now that Brooklyn has lost three straight. So not one of the better games on the slate, but obviously Houston happy to lose and Philly happy to win. So it's going to be a win-win for both these teams.
Yeah, and that first half -7 looks really good for the Sixers. You know, maybe best bet potential here tonight.
Yeah, I agree. Houston just not really a competitive team right now. Although on paper they're not so bad going forward. I mean, if they do get in into one of these top guys in the draft, and KPJ continues to develop, and you know Christian Wood could be a long term solution as a big. So I think it could be a quick turnaround for Houston in terms of the hopelessness that they felt after the Harden trade. So Munaf, as a Rockets fan, I'm sending you my love and hopefully that
we need it.
We need those magic lottery odds. So next game on the slate, the Indiana Pacers are at home facing the Sacramento Kings. Pacers favored by 6.5, total at 239.5. High total, but do we keep two teams that have been our overkins recently? So do we go with the over here, 239.5? And any thoughts on the spread at 6.5?
Yeah, you probably want obviously another game that we probably want to check the injury report as far as for the Sacramento Kings. You know, Harrison Barnes, I believe, did not go last night. You know, and I think not having De'Aaron Fox, obviously your best player on this team, as it takes a big hit to your offense. And, you know, Sacramento has relatively been playing better defense as of late. You take a look over their last three games, they've held all three of their opponents to less than 110 points. They gave up 106 to the Lakers, and then they held Dallas and Oklahoma City to both 99 points. So that's kind of unheard of for Sacramento. The question is that, you know, is Indiana going to continue to play with the pace that they have been over their last, you know, 10 to 12 games here? And I think they will, right? I think that's the kind of the way that their coach and their organization kind of wants them to play at that high pace. I don't know, man. Sacramento's on a back-to-back situation here. I'll probably just take Indiana here at home, because Sacramento is on a back-to-back. And if, you know, again, Harrison Barnes not able to go, I'm not sure that they have enough offensively to really keep up with us, you know, the pace and the scoring power that the Indiana Pacers have.
Yeah, and I'm curious to see how the Pacers kind of respond to this Nate Bjorkman report, because do they kind of rally? Is there some false statements made in that report and then they rally around their coach, or do they hate their coach so much already that they just want to lay an egg for him and, you know, kind of continue the bad vibes around Indiana? So this is probably a stay away, I think, especially without the injury report in our hands. Malcolm Brogdon questionable off last night's injury report. Jeremy Lamb questionable. Edmund Sumner questionable. Goga questionable. Jakar Sampson out with a concussion. A lot of concussions this year in the NBA. Kind of an interesting trend, this not disappointing, but a sad trend to see, I guess, with this, what we know about concussions. So, you know, not one of the better games, honestly. Anything, any other takes for this game here?
I think just quickly, you might want to keep an eye on the interior of either Marvin Bagley or Sean Holmes should have some success against that front court of Indiana here tonight, despite even Sabonis being back. I mean, we know that he's not a great defensive guy for Pacers, so I think, you know, maybe some rebounding props that you want to take a look at on Marvin Bagley and Rashawn Holmes.
Yeah, let me actually see what Rashawn Holmes do last night. He went for 13 and 7.
Yeah, the starters really had like a balanced scoring. I think all five of them were in double figures last night.
Yeah, they all five were, as well as second unit scoring from Terrence Davis and Justin James, second round pick last year from Wyoming, kind of trying to come on a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, like, that's a good point. I mean, all these teams have these random, you know, second rounders and journeymen that are trying to find their way in the league. So some fun players that you can kind of follow their stories and root for down the stretch. Let's take our final break here. We'll come back with the final three games. Today's episode of the NBA Gambling Podcast is also brought to you by BetterThan.Vegas. BetterThan.Vegas, it's like YouTube, but for what hashtag Degens only care about, and that's sports betting. We're giving out free daily video picks over on our Better Than Vegas profile page. Better Than Vegas is always running a ton of free contests as well. They have a ton of free picks and handicappers for you guys to check out. So make sure to subscribe to our profile so you don't miss a pick. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. Okay, Moon, I'm coming back off the break. Sneaky great game on the slate tonight, although the injury report potentially could get a little ugly for the Bucks. The Washington Wizards are in Milwaukee, where the Bucks are a 3.5-point home favorite right now. Very interesting line, total at 242. I'm guessing that we're missing one of the Bucks' big three here, if that's the line, but we don't know who yet.
Yeah, I'll be shocked to see if Giannis plays here tonight against, you know, especially with the effort that he's had over the last two games. So probably a night off for them, or for him at least. Yeah, I'm going to take Washington here tonight. Why not? You know, they're playing well. I think this might be a flat spot for the Milwaukee Bucks coming off those two games against Brooklyn. You know, just keep on looking for Russell Westbrook to keep on chugging along here tonight. You know, a game that Washington for sure needs, but I think I'm purely fading that this might be a flat spot for Milwaukee coming off those two games against Brooklyn.
Yeah, totally clean injury report for the Wizards too. And yeah, I mean, you look at kind of what Kyrie Irving was able to do against the other matchups, the non-Drew defenders, and now you bring in Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook. So he can't guard them both. So I look for one of those guys to have a big game tonight. So I will wait eagerly for your props column. I'm guessing we see some Russ involvement there. And yeah, I think with the Wizards, I mean, maybe just take a stab at the money line here, +140 in Milwaukee. Definitely looks like a flat spot. And with a super high total like this, I'm not sure how valuable 4 points are. So I like the Wizards as a dog as well, playing really well. And are the Wizards the most dangerous of the play-in teams in your eyes? I mean, you look at right now, I guess probably the Boston, Miami, Atlanta, New York team that ends up in the seven will be the most dangerous. But between Charlotte, Indiana, and Washington, it's probably the Wizards, right?
Yeah, I 100% agree. It's the Wizards because obviously you have a dynamic backcourt with the with Westbrook and Beal. And then when you have those two guys that if they get in as an eight seed, I mean, they're going to play loose, right? Like there's no pressure on them to, you know, win the series. Obviously they would want to, but you getting in as an eight seed and playing the number one seed, if they, you know, if they play loose and just, you know, have fun playing basketball, it could get interesting for that number one seed to going up against the Wizards if they're there. Quickly, like you just mentioned on Bradley Beal, if one of those two guys are going to have a big night, I'm quickly trying to see here that in the game that Bradley Beal played against this Milwaukee team, he had dropped 37 against them. Obviously a small sample size, but, you know, whoever Drew Holiday is going to end up guarding, that other guy might have a big night. So, something to keep an eye out for as we approach this game here tonight.
Yeah. Any thoughts on this total at 242?
Yeah. Obviously, that I think this number will change, you know, depending on the injury report. Wizards have been playing at a very, very high pace. So if you do like a side, or, you know, if you do want to play a total on this, I would probably take a look at the Wizards team total for this game. But this game, when these two teams matched up earlier this year, I believe they scored 255 points in that game. Yeah, 133-122. The Bucks won that game in Washington. Giannis was playing in that game. And yeah, Westbrook and Beal were both in that game. So I'd probably take Wizards team total if I wanted to play anything as far as a total in this game.
There we go. And obviously, as always, you can find Munaf's NBA team total of the day on his Twitter page at SportsNerd824. So I know you've been posting those and winning with those.
Yeah.
Two more games on the slate. Let's go to Salt Lake City, where the Utah Jazz are a 6.5-point home favorite to the San Antonio Spurs. Total at 218.5. The Jazz tied for Phoenix with the one seed now. The Spurs sneaky hanging on to that last spot in the play-in. So with the Pelicans getting that win last night, only two games separate San Antonio from New Orleans, and the Spurs have a brutal schedule with the Jazz tonight. Yeah. And then they go, they still have Portland, Milwaukee, Brooklyn, New York, Phoenix to end the year. So
yeah,
really tough for the Spurs. You could potentially see Zion in the play-in, which obviously the NBA would love to have that from a ratings perspective. But this game tonight, Donovan Mitchell still out. Mike Conley still out. Obviously that Mitchell ankle sprain, clearly much worse than the Trae Young one. Trae Young came back pretty quickly. Mitchell still down. So 6.5-point favorite at home. And I believe this is the second game of a two-game set.
Yep.
The Jazz got a 110-99 home win in their last game. So 6.5-point spread here. Munaf, which way are you going with the Spurs Jazz?
Yeah, I'll take the Spurs here tonight in this back-to-back, you know, mini serious situation. San Antonio is right in that game. When these two teams match up, I believe is on Monday. I think that if the Spurs want a chance to get into this play-in tournament, I think this is a game that they had to have. Without having obviously Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley, so expect a better effort out of DeJounte Murray and DeMar DeRozan. Quickly trying to see if there's any injury news for the Spurs, but clean only guy that's out is Trey Lyles, but he's been out for a while. But I like the Spurs here tonight plus the 6.5.
Yeah, I'll probably lean that direction as well. They can kind of come in here against Utah on the second game of that back-to-back set. We've been enjoying playing the opposite of what happened in the first game, and with 6.5 points, I would probably lean toward the Spurs. The Jazz continue to kind of truck along here. I will say, just not necessarily pertaining to this game, but the Jazz went from being the hottest story in the NBA before the trade deadline. Then they kind of had that game against Philly where they were complaining to the refs. And since then, no one is talking about that. They're basically irrelevant right now headed into the playoffs, which probably an okay position for them to be in. We will obviously talk about that more going forward. But I would lean towards the Spurs plus 6.5. Any thoughts on this total 218.5? Maybe a tad low. Obviously, maybe reacting to that first game a little bit.
Yeah, I think it'll be depending on obviously the shooting performance of what the Spurs do. I'm trying to quickly pull up what they did previously, but it's not, that's okay. It's a little low. I don't know. I mean, I think this is a game where I'm just kind of going to stay away. I think that there's just too much, you know, too many variables or too many question marks as far as, you know, player performance and things like that. Here, I got the box score from last game. You know, DeMar DeRozan scored 22 in that game, 15 for DeJounte Murray, 5 of 18 from three-point land for the Spurs. You know, they don't shoot many shots, but they don't make much either. And then for the Utah Jazz, 11 of 36 from three-point land. So, you know, both below 31% in that game. I just recommend just staying away from this game. Not one of the more exciting games here tonight.
Is it just me or just one of the weirder slates that we've had so far this season? I can't put my finger on why.
it feels kind of trappy with all these lines, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there are some good games, and I no doubt definitely about that. But as far as, you know, some of these spreads, it's a little fishy. So, you know, definitely check those injury reports if you're putting bets in. Lately I've been waiting till that 4:30 injury report comes out to put in these bets. But I mean, if you see clean injury reports for some of these teams like Phoenix and you know, like Milwaukee and Washington and San Antonio, Philly, you know, if you like those games, go ahead and bet those now, but definitely wait for those injury reports.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's kind of that tension between, as a bettor, you always want to get the best of the number, and you know, it's always exciting when you beat a line move. But also, I mean, look, some of these games have totals up in the 230s, 240s. You know, how valuable is 1 point or a half point? Yeah. When you'd rather have that clarity on the backside of the one of those injury reports, knowing who's going to be in or out. So I think that's always something that's hard to manage, because you do want to jump on a number when you like it and you want to beat the move. But at the same time, you know, like last night we had the Heat, we got it at 3, it went up to 4, and then it closed that, you know, the Mavs were favored by 1.5, I think. Yeah. So that is always a difficult thing to manage, and something that you can always kind of trade off. Both sides have their pros and cons. Last game on the slate, and one that is near and dear to my heart. Very excited to watch this game. The New York Knicks travel to the Mile High City, where the Knicks are a 4-point underdog on the road, total at 215. Munaf, I'll let you kick this off. Hopefully Nerlens Noel is back for this one. He is questionable for this game. I do expect him to go. He seems to manage his injuries pretty well. So relatively clean report for both teams. Munaf, where are you going with this game? Number feels a tad short, although the Knicks continue to exceed expectations every single night.
I'm taking the Knicks here. I mean,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing well. Like, if you're going to give me, I know Denver is, you know, playing well without Jamal Murray, but now these injuries, now you don't have Jamal Murray. You don't have Will Barton, and now you don't have PJ Dozier, and Monte Morris is still out. So now you're relying on your starting backcourt of Campazzo, which, hey, like you said, he has been playing well, but you also have Austin Rivers as your starting backcourt. You're going to have to rely on Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter Jr., Nikola, the Joker, to get this done for you. But when Joker comes off the court and getting his rest, who's going to be that guy to kind of step up for them offensively to carry this team? And I think New York right now, they're just playing really great basketball. I think this is a game that they kind of want to have and need to get. Also, because they also have a very difficult schedule on this road trip and kind of winding down the season, right? You take a look, they have Denver tonight, and then they have Phoenix at 2 LA teams. So if they're going to, you know, get to 300 on this little road trip, I think tonight might be the time to get against a team that's kind of injury riddled right now. Take a look at New York quickly, and I'll let you, you know, get your thoughts on this game. 15-7 as road underdogs are the New York Knicks this season. So I'll take that +3.5 with the New York Knicks here tonight.
Yeah, I think this is a spot where I am definitely have a actionable live angle that I like for this game, which is when Jokic comes off the floor and Derrick Rose comes on the floor. I think that's the perfect time to grab the Knicks in this game. and you see the Knicks, how their bench lineups are operating with Derrick Rose on the floor, I believe from Zach Lowe's podcast, said the Knicks are a plus 13 per 100 possessions with Derrick Rose on the floor. And we know that the Nuggets can struggle offensively when Jokic leaves the floor. So I think this might be a great game to kind of sit out this first quarter and then target a live line on the Knicks in that late first quarter, early second quarter, where you see that Jokic, Derrick Rose kind of switch off. I think that might be a really kind of niche way to get in this game. I think, yeah, I mean, the 4-point spread is tough. I would probably lean towards the Knicks as well, especially with a low total like this. I think this one does come down to the wire. Both teams are kind of defensive oriented now, especially in the absence of Jamal Murray. And yeah, that PJ Dozier injury, I did not see that. That kind of stresses out this Nuggets depth a lot. I mean,
yeah,
basically their top four guards are out between, you know, Murray, Morris, yeah, Barton, and Dozier. So Austin Rivers starts, and then who even plays off the bench for the Nuggets? I don't really – who will be their fourth guard tonight? Shaq Harrison, and then
– yeah, Shaq Harrison got some run against –
yeah, and Shaq Harrison
– was the Lakers.
Shaq Harrison can play I guess Marcus Howard gets some minutes tonight, or Vlatko Chanchar. I mean, there will be a random guy on that Nuggets second unit. So that's something to look out for tonight in this game. I definitely think that, I mean, I normally don't like to do this. I know I did this once earlier this year where you just take the Knicks in the second quarter before the game. That line's not up yet. So maybe we'll talk about that in Slack later. So, very interesting game here. This will be one of the games of the night. This and Phoenix-Atlanta, really, really fun games, as well as Washington-Milwaukee. So another good night of games. I mean, Memphis-Minnesota, good game. Total at 215. Any thoughts on that? It's low, but, you know, two teams that can get after defensively.
Yeah, you know, I was just looking at the defensive rating over the last five games. Denver, number 3 in defensive rating, and New York Knicks are number 6. So, you know, when you have two defensive teams, the thing that kind of, I think, scares me, but, you know, taking an under is that, you know, New York is the number 1 offensive efficient team, the number 4 offensive efficient team, not only over their last 10 games, but also over their last 5 games. So I think that pace will dictate what's going to happen in this game. We know Denver is not playing at high pace without Jamal Murray and some of their guards on this team. So, you know, I would lean towards the under in this game.
Yeah, I think this definitely does feel like a kind of, you know, 100-100 type of battle that comes down to the final possession. So a lot of good games on the slate tonight. Munaf, let's wrap it up here with our best bets for tonight, and then we'll get out of here. So where are you looking on this slate? As we said, kind of some voodoo in some of these numbers, so maybe a careful Wednesday for us.
I think the one that stuck out to me for sure was that Sixers first half minus the 7. You know, they tend to get off to great starts in the first half and then kind of let their teams back, or their opponents back, into the game in the second half. So, you know, I think this is a game where Sixers come out, you know, looking sharp. They had a day off. So I will take the Sixers minus the 7 in the first half against the Houston Rockets tonight.
All right. Well, we are going to have unity again. I'm going to go with Sixers first quarter minus 4. I will also take the Sixers first half minus 7. So a little stack season for the Sixers for us. Definitely think that this is a good spot for them to kind of come in and mash Houston. Elsewhere, I'm going to look at that under in Minnesota Memphis at 238.5. That is one that I do really like as well. So any other best bets for you on the slate, Munaf? Let's hope that our unity can do a little bit better than Miami last night.
Yeah, I think that was the only ones that really stuck out to me here. Let me look here real quick. Maybe I can get one more out here. I'll take the over. Let's see, where's that number at now? 228 for the Suns and Atlanta over. I think these offenses will put up some points here tonight. Phoenix hasn't been playing well defensively. Atlanta with their shooters, Trey Young, Bogdanovich, you know, so many guys that can just shoot the basketball for Atlanta. I think that this game goes over here tonight.
Okay, there we go. So, you know, a few really fun games to watch. And then obviously, I mean, I think I have had the standings open in a tab on my internet, you know, all day, every day. I mean, really fascinating to see kind of how these things are affecting matchups, and everything is so up in the air, especially in the West, where it's just like, you don't really know if you want to go up or down because you don't know where the Clippers and the Lakers are going to be. So
yeah,
lots of intrigue there. Munaf, where can the people find you on Twitter?
Find me on Twitter at sportsnerd824. We'll have a player props post on there, hopefully rather soon here once we're done, hopefully by noon my time. But yeah, check out my Twitter at sportsnerd824. I will have my NBA total of the day that's been doing fairly well. And let's get it here tonight. Where can they find you, Zach, on Twitter?
Yeah, find me on Twitter at NBA Zach B. You will obviously have your props column up on sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Ton of content up there. It's been just fire recently. Golf, football, baseball, basketball, you know, other gambling just in general. So lots of stuff to follow on sportsgamblingpodcast.com, as well as join us in our Slack channel. That's at sg.pn/Slack. You can sign up for the individual sports Slacks or just general chatter with the SGPN crew. Please subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast and all the other podcasts on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Check out Underdog Fantasy. Munaf, we're looking forward to getting made some props up there tonight. So lots of stuff going on as we head towards the playoffs. So thank you all for listening. Great episode. And we will catch you with Munaf and Titus on the Thursday show tomorrow. Have a good one, everyone, and good luck with your bets tonight. Basketball. Get it, get it.